Our second scripture today comes from Ephesians 1, verses 15 to 23. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. Since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, this is the reason that I don't stop giving thanks to God for you when I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that makes God known to you. I pray that the eyes of your heart will have enough light to see what is the hope of God's call, what is the richness of God's glorious inheritance among believers, and what is the overwhelming greatness of God's power that is working among us as believers. This power is conferred by the energy of God's powerful strength. God's power was at work in Christ when God raised him from the dead and sat him at God's right side in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority and power and angelic power, any power that might be named, not only now but in the future. God put everything under Christ's feet and made him head of everything in the church, which is his body. His body, the church, is the fullness of Christ, who fills everything in every way. Join now in the affirmation of faith. We believe in God, creator of all things, ruler of all that is and all that is to come. God is transforming the world into the place of God's justice and mercy. We follow Jesus, who taught and healed, who died and rose, revealing God's abundant grace. He sent disciples out into the world to heal, to proclaim the good news of God's grace, and to participate in the reign of God in all that we do. He reigns in love over all creation and holds all accountable to their faithfulness to God's rule of grace. We rely upon the unfailing grace of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the community of the church as the body of Christ, the unity of all believers, the power of forgiveness, the reality of resurrection, and the alluring blessing of eternal life. Therefore, we devote ourselves to lives of daily prayer, study, service, and reflection, following Jesus as our Master, for the sake of the transformation of the world by the grace of God. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Our focus scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 31 through 46. This is a story that we've heard before, you're probably familiar with, about the sheep and the goats. This comes in Matthew's Gospel towards the end of his writings. The 2 weeks prior, we've heard the two parables before this one. The parable of the 10 bridesmaids and their lamps, and last week the parable of the valuable coins. Remember, the master gives his servants the coins to be responsible for. So now Jesus is talking about God's judgment, about the sheep and the goats. He's using this, the scholars, some call this a parable. Actually, in my opinion, it's more allegory than it is parable. But Shortly after this, he will be arrested and tried and crucified. So pay close attention to Matthew's story of the sheep and the goats. And I share it with you this morning from the Message. When he finally arrives, blazing in beauty, and all his angels with him, the Son of Man will take his place on his glorious throne. Then all the nations will be arranged before him, and he will sort the people out, much as a shepherd sorts out sheep and goats, putting sheep to his right and goats to his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Enter, you who are blessed by my God. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation. And here's why. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit. I was in prison and you came to me." Then those sheep are going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and come to you?" Then the king will say, "I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me." Then he will turn to the goats, the ones on his left, and say, "Get out, worthless goats. You're good for nothing but the fires of hell. And why? Because I was hungry and you gave me no meal. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was homeless and you gave me no bed. I was shivering and you gave me no clothes. Sick and in prison, and you never visited." Then those goats are going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or homeless or shivering or sick or in prison and didn't help?" He will answer them, "I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you failed to do one of these things to someone who was being overlooked or ignored, that was me. You failed to do it to me." Then those goats will be herded to their eternal doom, but the sheep to their eternal reward. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but a week seldom passes without a picture of or a story about somebody in the royal family. Great Britain's royal family. Well, maybe not on the news sources that you look at, but my daily news source, my morning news source is MSN.com, and there's stories, also a variety of stories, and they're from different news sources, which I like. You get a cross-section of opinions and takes on the news. In fact, I turned it on, and I got online this morning, and the first story? One about the royal family in Britain and the supposed engagement that's supposed to be taking place or has taken place. Who knows whether it's taken place or not? We Yanks, and I learned from our youngest son and his girlfriend who just got back from Ireland and Scotland that that's how we are referred to, at least in Ireland and Scotland, because my son was talking to a local, and the local looked at him and says, "You're a Yank, aren't you?" For some reason, we Yanks, at least some of us, and I think all of us to a degree, we have a fascination with royalty and the royal family, don't we? With the people of the royal family, people of royalty, and things deemed royal. We follow them on the news, fascinated by their lifestyle, what they're doing, where they might be. I don't quite understand it, but we do. Now, worldly royalty is easily identifiable. They're always before us in the news, of course. In official ceremonies, they're identified by maybe the crowns and the royal cloak, whatever you want to call it. Maybe they're carrying the scepter, you know, all of the stereotypical things that the royalty does or that we think royalty does. We know them by face. Just to look at them, we know, oh yeah, that's part of the royalty, part of the royal family. And that's okay. But I got to wondering, what about other worldly royalty, godly royalty? How do we identify on this Christ the King Sunday, and also now known more commonly as the Reign of Christ Sunday, God's royalty? This is the Sunday that we close the church year with. The Sunday that we lift up and say, claim anyway, that God, through Jesus, is our ruler, our sovereign. Above everything else, God is King. Christ is King. God reigns in our lives daily. But how do we recognize Him? How do we recognize this person, this Son of God that we claim to be our King, our Sovereign? How would we recognize Him? Where would we find Him? We know that Jesus is not the type of ruler, the type of King that we see in the world. We know that. We say that, but I think we still look for that other type of royalty in Jesus, don't we? People of Jesus' time did. So where on this Sunday, this Christ the King Sunday, might we find Jesus? Might we look and recognize Him? Where might we find Him today? Well, Matthew's Gospel tells us where, doesn't it? In this story of the sheep and the goats, if we're seriously looking for Jesus, trying to find Him, to recognize Him in the world today, we will find Him, according to Matthew, in the same places and the same people that Jesus was while He was on earth doing His ministry. As Eugene Peterson, the Message, paraphrases it, in the overlooked and the ignored people of the world. That's where Jesus spent most of His time. That's where He encouraged people, followers of His, to spend most of theirs. It's the place where He started His life. In a small town, with people that were overlooked and ignored. What better place to be found than to be recognized than in a place like that, in the place that God intended Him to start His reign? If we're serious about looking for Jesus, recognizing Christ in the world, we aren't going to find Him on MSN.com. We're not going to find Him on Facebook. We're going to find Him with the overlooked and the ignored. And if we don't look there, if we don't go there, we won't find Him. Jesus set the example as a ruler, as a sovereign, to go where the people are that are in need. Those overlooked, those ignored folk, the ones that the world looks past, the ones that He sees clearly, because God sees them clearly. All good leaders should do that. And not just for a good photo op. So should His followers. If we're to proclaim that Christ is the King, the Sovereign of our lives, we need to go to those same places and do the same things. For when we do, we have done it, as Jesus states, to Him as well. So let us intentionally look for the One who reigns, the One who we claim reigns over us, body, mind, and spirit, day and night, year in, year out. May we become even more fascinated with seeing Jesus than anything else, including the royal family. For if we look for him in the right places, we'll see him every day. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.